Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
In Malibu.
Right.
And it gets pretty hot and dusty.
Bengal season will be fire, though. I think there's no doubt about it.
Guess this is what we've been told. So, wait, you guys have the season passes or what?
Tickets?
Bridget, yeah, the tickets.
Ben, what is a season pass?
You go to every game?
Every game, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, I think, are we live?
That's a commitment.
Is the show on?
It's going to be.
I said the timer.
Podcast. Oh, yeah.
I'm your host, Daddy McDuke.
Oh, yeah.
I'm joined, as always, by Dr. Hoji, the electric smudgy.
Yes.
John Oates Sheeran. And, of course, we have HR, who needs no introduction, because she was always the official Bengals representation. Everybody knows her name now, including
everybody but
me.
You. Well, let's see.
Brandi Janowitz, everybody.
No, Bridget Jankars. Bridget Jankars, the one and only.
Look, we have so much to get to. We have three amazing guests today to cover all the things that the AFC North did in the draft to try to catch up with the Bengals, who are obviously the...
They were like throwing dead bodies off the plane to make it lighter because it's hard to fly as high as we do.
It is, but... Look, before we get to that, Courtney is not here, but she gave me very clear notes about what to talk about. Hold on. You're not going to believe this one. I just want to make sure I get it right. But her newest podcast is hosted by none other than the man they are calling President Joe Biden.
Wow.
Yeah. And look, they came to him. They said inflation is out of control. Your ratings are low. You need to start a podcast. What do you want to call it? And they say he stood there and thought about it, and obviously the smartest and most powerful man in the world. And after contemplating, he said, "What's a podcast?" And so this meta kind of name that is challenging this new, let's say, platform of communication, what's a podcast? It is really going to ask all the important questions, and we're really looking forward to it, honestly.
Did he ask what a podcast was, or is that the name of the podcast?
I think it's both.
Courtney, is Courtney not here?
No, Courtney's not here, but this is typical daddy of fascist propaganda. You should see the stuff he sends me. He texts me stuff like that. It sounds meta, but you should see the stuff he texts me. Yeah, Sleepy Joe and all that.
Okay, yeah. So we have to move on.
Yeah.
But obviously, we want you to like and subscribe and comment and turn on notifications for the show. And get this, our first guest has 2 billion followers on Snapchat.
Yeah, that's like a fourth of the world's population.
Right.
Follows him on Snapchat.
Listen to this. He is the CEO of Snapback Sports. I'm talking about the great Mr. Jack Settleman.
Yeah. Yeah.
This guy, look, this guy is a Ravens fan, but we have more love for him than basically anybody in the world. A sweetie pie. He's our therapist. Yeah. Welcome, Jack.
Thank you for having me back. Excited to be here.
We are excited to have you. You have really raised the level of fame and notoriety in the room. It's basically me and you in terms of fame right now.
I mean,
you're more famous.
Well, I'm older too. I've had time.
Jack, look, we look to the Ravens, and they had an injury-ravaged season. Okay, they have a great defense. They added a lot of great pieces in the draft to that defense. They have an MVP quarterback who still doesn't have his contract, so it's not clear what they're going to do there. And he lost his favorite receiver, and they really, I mean, they have Amari Cooper now, and they...
Wrong team.
Oh, that's the Browns. So they don't have any receivers, basically. So they haven't replaced really.
His mistakes are always intentional, Jack. That was not a slip of the tongue.
Well, this is mind games. Here's the question.
He was trained by the Soviets.
Here's the question, Jack. Are they going to just? I know that Lamar Jackson had a career year in terms of yards and passing and all that. If you go by per game basis, but really, are they going to switch to a defensive running identity now? Is that how they plan on turning that corner and winning a Super Bowl?
No, it's a passing league, so you're going to have to bring in wide receivers. You've got the best tight end in football in Andrews. You drafted Rashad Bateman in the first round. So it's a little overblown of what you're missing. No one was complaining last year. Well, some Chiefs fans were, but you had Hill and Kelce. Now, Bateman is no Hill, don't get it twisted, but they only had 2 weapons. So when it comes to that, you know, you can force feed those guys the ball. I think we'll get Jarvis Landry. That's what it's starting to seem like, where he'll want to play this season. So if you bring in Landry, they've drafted 4 other guys in rounds 3 through 7 over the last few years, Duvernay, Prochet. Maybe they turn into something, but the trade deadline is probably where you can snag, you know, a vet who's on the last year of his deal. You need a passing offense in the NFL. With all that being said, the Ravens are a run first team. They queued up on their O-line, drafted a center. Stanley should be back. In 2019, when Lamar was the unanimous MVP, I heard you mention MVP, but you didn't say unanimous ahead of it, which is required.
No, we all knew who he was. I mean, they made the name.
It's just,
public.
It's, I don't it's know why just you're like unanimous. You say Jack Settleman, I say unanimous MVP. They just go together.
Yeah, but usually when it's unanimous, it's because the reporter, what is it, confidentiality?
No, that's anonymous. That's anonymous.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyways, in 2019, when Lamar Jackson was the unanimous MVP, they had a 3 tight end set that they absolutely adored. And so they drafted more tight ends. Boyle's back from injury. They already have Andrews. So look for the Ravens to try and return to their roots with an improved Lamar as a passer. And look for the Bengals to regress.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, did that slip out?
No, because
you kind of flew out.
Yeah.
Well, and we caught it and are going to send it back. Has Lamar Jackson started like responding to his emails? Like, is he ready to play?
No. He's very active on Twitter, though. He's been in the community. He's been playing lacrosse. I think he was even at Chick-fil-A serving up some sandwiches. So he's definitely around.
Yeah, it seems like he can do everything but throw the ball with accuracy. It's like he's a very dynamic athlete, versatile athlete.
Well, I think, you know, the spam folder, he should probably check into that. But if you want a good piece of intel, something really, really interesting that I found fascinating that I hadn't really considered. So Lamar Jackson, based off, you know, that conversation we just had, based off the general reaction to Lamar not having signed a contract, would we all agree that it's framed negatively towards Lamar? Are we all in agreement for that?
I am.
Okay.
I'm with you.
So, yeah. So I didn't realize until someone pointed out to me the reason why the media, namely Rappaport or Schefter or the local media, is so keen on pushing this in a negative light. And this whole thing, the chance that the Lamar Jackson could fumble one of the biggest contracts in NFL history, is because if he does pull this off without an agent, those NFL insiders, aka sources, will lose their access points, therefore deeming them essentially useless. For example, Adam Schefter cannot contact Lamar's agent to get the details of the deal. Why do I want to follow Adam Schefter on Twitter if he doesn't have the details of the deal? So really interesting. I just thought to share.
That's a good point. I mean, I like also, that. Let's just think about this.
You know, that Daddy, that's guys, almost a conspiracy theory. You should love
that. That's why we have Jack on the show. And that is why Jack, it can't be a conspiracy if 2 billion people believe in it, Oji. Right. And that is Jack's audience.
So anything Jack says is true.
Yeah. But I will say this. I love that theory, and I will add to it, it's not just that they don't have access. It's that the people who give them access and their buddies and the way they've built up their empire is by, you know, being buddies with these owners and these, you know, other people who are, let's say, taking the main cut, if you will. And I'm a big Lamar Jackson fan, so I'm just joking when I talk about the accuracy. But we do want to see the Ravens fail, and they have a stacked roster, and they just made it more stacked. And they're healthy. And honestly, I'm a little worried that the games, you know, the Bengals would only defeat them by, you know, single digits in one or two of the games. Because, no, I sweat about that at night, that the Ravens could be back. But no, I'm just kidding. They're a great team. And, you know, I really do think that they're going to have a bounce back season.
I think what people were saying was that they needed to strengthen the edge rushing.
Right.
And did they?
No.
I mean, it's David it's David Ojabo. Is that the answer?
No, they did not. Yeah, the funny thing is about the Ravens, they get a lot of love for being one of the best organizations in football. Everyone A+, A+, A+ on the draft. Because they got super valuable picks. You know, you get a Ojabo who would have been a top 15 player off an Achilles, which has now become a shorter injury. You get Kyle Hamilton, who at some points was mocked at, you know, a top 5 player, and everyone thinks Lindenbaum is going to be like a Hall of Famer on day one. So they get excited about the Ravens. But then when you look at the cost and what he's done over the last few years, there's glaring holes at the wide receiver position, at the edge position. And no, they didn't address that at all. So new defensive coordinator hopefully can make some changes. But pass rush and, you know, wide receivers that can get open have been the two biggest things holding the Ravens back over the last 2 years.
Yeah. And on the flip side, because we are talking about matchups with the Bengals, were armed and ready. And last year and this year, my Lord. I mean, that team is...
Okay, all right.
Scary.
The second matchup, I don't even care that Josh Johnson played. He actually played pretty well.
He was great.
Yeah.
Daddy-o, you and I could have ran routes against those Baltimore corners. First matchup, Jamar gave Marlin...
You overestimate, you know, Daddy-o's running.
Yeah, you should see his legs.
Well, yeah. The thing is...
Very short and hairy.
Well, the thing about grass is that it is... The thing, my shoes get caught in it, because actually I'm not that big.
He wears little ballerina, like shiny shoes.
Well, I get your point. I get your point that Marlon Humphrey, they need to upgrade their cornerbacks because he got burned by Jamar Chase in that first game. Is that what you were saying?
That is
everybody
what I'm saying.
Everybody gets burned by Jamar.
Look. Yeah, I think it's going to be closer. I don't want to do too much trash talking because the Ravens, it's just that the Ravens did to us what we did to them last year and the previous year. So it felt good. It really felt good. You know that first Ravens, I don't remember, it was the first or the fourth or the fifth. I don't remember. The first Ravens blowout that we had, that was like our coming out party. That's when we all knew this team has very high upside. But we didn't know they'd go deep in the playoffs because, you know, we were still hovering around 500 for a lot of the year. But, okay, look, I want to talk about the Steelers. And I don't think our guest is here. And that could be on account of the intimidation factor of having a Bridget on the show, who is not the biggest Steelers fan.
And I thought the Steelers fans might still be hiding after that Kenny Pickett pick.
Well, that's what we want to talk about, John.
But who wants to talk about Kenny Pickett? I can understand that, you know.
Well, they took two quarterbacks in the draft. They picked up Mitch Trubisky, and
they didn't draft him.
They didn't draft him, right? But they added about four or five quarterbacks because they needed to replace the weight of Ben Roethlisberger, right? I mean, just that, forget his impact on the field, but it takes four quarterbacks to replace that hole. And really, and also the dietary department at the Steelers facility was worried they would be out of jobs. So they brought in enough quarterbacks to basically keep business running. But John, what are they doing? What are the Steelers doing? Do they think they have a solution in Pittsburgh with any of these guys?
I think the Steelers are in constant denial of their state of affairs because they haven't experienced losing in quite a long time. Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season, and that's why he's renowned as one of the 5 or 10 best coaches in the NFL. But they would prefer to go in to a season with Mitch Trubisky as their quarterback, instead of just completely recognizing that their team is clearly the fourth best in the division, and it's probably best to focus on just going all out and improving the team for the long term. That's just never really been their style. In the past 60, 50 years, they've always been competitive. They've always found a way to make it work, and I think in their minds, this guy from Pittsburgh, Kenny Pickett, is their next solution, and he may not be that guy this year in their minds, but I think their overall plan is for him to develop quite like Ben Roethlisberger did as a young quarterback. And their draft, I think it was pretty solid for the most part. George Pickens in the second round was a decent pick. DeMarvin Leal, I think, is a good piece on that defensive line, considering he's more of a 34 defensive end. Calvin Austin, the receiver out of Memphis, he was really productive there, and they've developed receivers really well. So I think that their draft was solid. Their team is going to, I think it's still going to be competitive in a lot of games. It's just a matter of when you're dealing with the Bengals, the Ravens, and a Browns team that might have Deshaun Watson for a full season, there's just not a lot of hope, at least this year, for them.
Maybe it's kind of like, you know, the whole Blake Bortles thing.
Right.
You get someone who's good enough, and you it's not...
I thought you meant it's going to be a disaster. Blake Bortles.
I don't think Blake Bortles was a disaster. He was a terrible quarterback who took him to the AFC Championship. That's what they mean.
He went. He was technically, he made the flight to the AFC Championship. No, but
to Hoji's point, like, they still went there with him, and like,
yeah, that, he threw for like 80 yards a game.
That disillusions people, right? It makes them see, he was there so he can be a solution, but he wasn't.
Right. He was not. Well, guess what? We have a guest for the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, yes.
And not just a guest.
Can I ask a quick question, Daddy-O? Just, so a lot has been made or joked about Kenny Pickett's hand size, and people said the same thing about Joe Burrow. Microscopic. They said the same thing about Joe Burrow.
It's different. It's different.
Well, it's different.
Because for Joe Burrow, it's an asset. Well, because Joe Burrow, he uses his hands to basically be more appealing and charismatic, and
it's petite versus small. It's petite versus small.
Right,
but Burrow's hands are petite. Yeah, Pickett's hands are small.
Maybe an answer from a non-puppet.
I don't know.
Kenny Pickett in his Pittsburgh career, and he was there for a long time. He fumbled the ball 26 times. Right. This is a guy who
Joe Burrow's never fumbled.
He wears two gloves already on his hands. The gloves were designed to make sure that he holds on to the ball, and he still fumbled it over 2 dozen times. I don't believe Joe Burrow fumbled the ball very much at LSU.
Never.
There is this imaginary threshold of a 9-inch hand that I think NFL evaluators use, and Burrow was just at 9 inches. And Pickett went from 8.25 to like 8.5 in a matter of 2 weeks. Probably wasn't an
They have surgery, they break your bones and then they heal and then they're longer and all that. But I mean, it's not the same. It's really not the same. But I want to say this. When I think about the Cleveland Browns, I think of two things. I think of the 0-16 season, which was the most Brown season ever. And I think of Chris McNeil, who celebrated that Chris McNeil is like my favorite Browns personality in the world.
Love the guy.
And he is here to join us today. He's in the car, obviously. And But look, so Chris.
But is he here?
Is he in the parade right now? Is that why he's in the car?
Yeah, he's here.
Is it still going on?
No. What happened? So they had the parade, and then the team, basically, their brain team got together, and they tried to figure out what to do with the number one pick, and they made a very bold move in picking up Baker Mayfield. And they say yes. It was a homeless man who made the official pick. And basically then the Browns were back in it. They were back in the playoff hunt.
To win it.
And Chris, are you there? Are you with us?
I am. Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you, yeah. Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear me go off the road there a little bit?
No, but that's okay. That's okay, yeah. Chris. You go wherever you want to go. As long as you're on our show, we're happy.
Yeah.
I was just off the road a little bit. I'm back on it. It's kind of like my Browns. You know, we're kind of all over the road. You know, never know what we're going to do. And, you know, I'm just basically doing the same thing right now on the roads.
Well,
what's your gut say, Chris? What's your gut say about this year?
Well, hold on. I want to ask Chris something. I want to ask him real quick.
Let me ask my question first.
You know the way this works. I mean, we won the offseason once again. We got our guy. We're all set. I mean, just like every offseason, I feel really good going into it. And I'm sure it's going to turn out well for us, like it always does.
Well, Chris, let me ask you something. So, look, the Browns, obviously, they have a quarterback who might be the most hated player in the league. Everybody's rooting against this guy, even though he was pretty good not that long ago. And then they go out and they add Deshaun Watson. So what the thing about Baker Mayfield is he brought a lot of hope, you know, but then he got browned is what I would say. I mean, he's not a bad quarterback, but it was like all of a sudden the negativity and the self-doubt and all that stuff seemed to overwhelm him. And he was on the stacked roster. He had some injuries. He's had some problems. But then I don't know what happened where everybody turned against him. Was this just something you think they were holding inside and not letting out? And then, you know, after basically they found a better quarterback, because they have people backstabbing him all the time now.
Well, you have that one theory that there was some latent hate for Baker Mayfield because of the whole planting the flag at the midfield of Ohio Stadium against Ohio State. You know, obviously we're all a lot of Ohio State fans here, but I don't know. I don't lend much credence to that. I think it's more so that we were so eager for a quarterback that could lead us to the promised land that one playoff game made us feel so good. And then to see how far he fell, I mean, in that Texans game, after he got injured, not only did he injure his shoulder, but, you know, after that, he looked like a completely different guy. I mean, you look at the All-22 film on him, and he very clearly was missing guys. You know, OBJ's dad pointed out so eloquently over social media, as we do these days, about everything that he was missing on the field. And I don't think there was any doubt about that. So the fans, you know, there's certainly plenty of Baker bros left that are still supporting him. But I think people are starting to line up behind Deshaun Watson and seeing that, you know, this is an upgrade for Cleveland. It's an upgrade at the quarterback position, the most important position on the field. And there's a good chance that he's going to lead us a lot farther than what Baker did in the past.
Well, if he gets on the field. So is there any sort of update about is there any chance he gets suspended this year or is it too late?
Chris might be more in tune on that. I think it has to do with just the legal process and if the NFL can actually like take action with it based off of where it's at. So where are we at with that, Chris?
Yeah, you got the civil suits right now, which looks like they've been pushed off until the end of the season. So that has a lot of people thinking that maybe we're not going to see any kind of a suspension for Deshaun Watson. I, being the experienced Browns fan, am still expecting at least half the season for Deshaun Watson not to be out there, just because that's the way this stuff normally goes for us. And hey, you know, chances are we're going to have Baker Mayfield rolling the ball out there, all pissed off for about eight games there at the beginning of the season, the way these things normally go. But no, I mean, the latest news out of Cleveland and out of Berea and really out of the league office is it's looking like Deshaun Watson could be playing all 17 games this season, God willing.
And if he does, Chris, and I know it's hard to believe, I know it's hard to have hope as a Browns fan, But if he does, this is one of those elite players who can really change things. What do you think about that?
Oh, I agree. I mean, you've already got Nick Chubb back there, which I don't know if you guys saw the video of him this week.
He's unstoppable. You
know, benching 665 pounds in a squat. I mean, just incredible. I mean, this guy, and he never says anything either.
He's not
one of those guys who's going to get into trouble in the locker room. He's just one of those lead by example guys out of the backfield. You got that. You got a good line. You add Amari Cooper in the offseason. You know, I really like our chances offensively, and then we did some upgrades on the defense as well. We'll see what we do in that off defensive end, whether Clowney comes back. There seems to be more momentum with that, especially considering that Jarvis Landry now seems destined to leave for sure. So it looks like we may free up some money there to bring back Clowney, put him at the opposite defensive end, opposite Myles Garrett, as he was last
year. Yeah, I mean, so Chris,
adds more stability up there.
So really,
at both bends both. And then we went, and I don't know if anybody else noticed, I said that quarterback was the most important position on the field, but really for the Browns, it's kicker. We have not been able to find the predecessor to Phil Dawson to really take the mantle in Cleveland, and I believe we may have finally done that, drafting York out of LSU. This guy can kick the ball like 80 yards. It's incredible. Never, of course, kicked in the type of temperatures and the type of, snow and everything else we get in Cleveland. But I'm eager to see this guy hopefully kick late into December, into January, and on towards the Super Bowl. So feeling pretty good about all three facets of the game right now as a Browns.
Yeah, but I mean, look, so much of it hinges. I mean, you've probably been studying law the past few months since you got Deshaun Watson, the way that I had my team study anatomy after Joe Burrow tore 8 ligaments in his knee.
Sure.
I mean, you have a lot riding on that. And really, nobody, I don't even know if anybody knows who they drafted other than the kicker, the Browns, because, you know, it's all about if Watson plays, if, you know, he gels and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean,
well, I can tell you, Chris, from experience, my girlfriend's right now going through a trial. What? You got to cry on the stand.
Well, that's the way to do it, right? I mean, we've been watching this Johnny Depp stuff, right? You guys been following that? The Amber Heard stuff? Yeah. I mean, so I'm looking that if we actually do get to trial, that at least we have some entertainment value. Obviously, this is some pretty heady stuff that he's dealing with, you know, and I don't want to make light of that. But at the same time, you know, it's going to keep him off the field, I think, at some point for us in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And whether it's this year or next year, it could happen. And like you said, we went from being, you know, the upstarts of the Cubs of the world, you know, Boston Red Sox, to being what the Cubs are now, to what the Red Sox are now in terms of the fan base. People have turned against us pretty strong here in Cleveland pretty quickly. And I don't expect that to turn back anytime soon.
Yeah, well, I do think you're going to send shockwaves around the league this year. I really do. So
hopefully we'll in see. A good way.
Yeah, we'll see. But look, let's get to the Cincinnati Bengals. And we're going to try to wrap this up very fast. But we're going to talk a little bit about the Cincinnati Bengals. And then I want to get your predictions, Jack and Chris. But look, the Bengals, everybody's calling them the Legion of Zoom now. Because they added three people to the defensive backfield that run, they can do the 40-yard dash in 3.4 seconds, John. Is that right? They have three guys who are doing
a little bit slower than that. A little bit.
No, that would be a Tesla.
But look, they added three guys like that to arguably the best safety tandem in the league in Von Bell and Jesse Bates. And really, what they're doing is, it's a very modern approach where they don't have the best pass rush, they don't have the beefiest defensive line, but they are going to disrupt, you know, receivers and quarterbacks with their playmaking ability. And John, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's fitting that we have a representative of the Ravens and the Browns here, because the drafting of guys like Dax Hill, Tyson Anderson, you can throw Cam Taylor-Britt in there too, I think is a direct reflection of where the AFC North is and where it's going with the dynamic quarterback talent that is there. And you need guys who can play multiple spots in the secondary to not only cover up with some of these tight ends and these wide receivers, but also crash down and maybe contain some quarterbacks as they go out of the pocket. I think the great thing with Dax Hill is he embraces the positionless nature of who he is as a player. And going forward, he's very willing to continue evolving in whatever role that the Bengals give him. So yeah, he might be the backup nickel slot, free safety, strong safety, but he's going to get on the field 25-30 snaps a game because of that athleticism and the skill set that he has. And that was really the basis of the entire draft. You're not going to have a ton of instant impact guys outside of him and Taylor Britt. You only had six players and none of them are really going to be starters outside of maybe Taylor Britt. But the speed and the infusion of athleticism in an already solid defense, I think, makes the defense even more compatible to match up against the offenses of the AFC North. It's not the same division anymore as it was only like 5-10 years ago. It's evolved to a spot where, you know, you have to be very flexible and very moldable with what you do on a week-to-week basis. And now the defense is pretty much set up to do that.
Yeah.
And it's almost, I almost felt like, and I don't know how Jack feels about this, the Bengals defense was designed around Lamar Jackson. It was kind of like the anti-Ravens defense. That was the design of the defense in a lot of ways, and it paid off.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, thank you for that breakdown, John. Obviously, everybody here is, following the Bengals very closely. Everybody wants to see them fail, and I want to get to the predictions. And Jack, how is the AFC North going to play out?
How will the AFC North play out? I think the Ravens have the advantage from a scheduling purpose. The Steelers, I think we can all agree, and they didn't even represent themselves, so they can't protect themselves today. They're the fourth best team in the division. They'll still be dangerous. You're not going to want to go to Pittsburgh on a Sunday into Heinz on that crappy turf that they have and play there. But I think over the course of 17 games, they'll finish in the basement. Unfortunately for my good friends here, I see Cincinnati going in as the three in the AFC North. Now, that doesn't mean they missed the postseason, but a couple reasons why. One, like you said, it's not like you guys won 14 games last year and you destroyed everyone. You're going to play a first-place schedule. The division got a lot tougher. Lamar and the Ravens are healthy and back, two games that you won last season. So I have you in at the third spot. I'm going to go with Cleveland at two, but I think it's going to be a super competitive division. Everyone's talking about the AFC West. I think the AFC North is actually a way better division, way more competitive, and we're going to beat each other up way more than those teams will. So while it's bragging about the North, it's actually a bad thing because it's just going to leave us all at like a 10-7, 11-6 record. But I think the Ravens healthy. There was a point last year, 8-3. Lamar was the MVP of the league, and he did it with about half his starters. So bring those guys back. Hopefully get someone like Jarvis Landry to key up the wideouts. And I think now we talk playoffs. What Joe Burrow did last year, Lamar hasn't touched. Neither has Deshaun Watson, really. And definitely not Mitchell Trubisky. So come playoff time, you know, I can't say Lamar's the guy, but in the regular season, there's no one who's been better than Lamar Jackson when it comes to winning football games. So
yeah,
I'm excited.
Jack, in your scenario, so Deshaun is playing, if you put the Browns at the second.
I think Watson's going to play. I also think they have the best roster plus QB in the league. So we saw last year, I mean, Baker Mayfield, you know, similar to us playing wideouts against those Ravens corners, like Baker Mayfield was nothing and they were still squeaking out games. So yeah. I think they can manage to win a few games. I would think six is the max that he sits out based off what I'm hearing. But yes, that prediction is based on Watson being there for at least the majority of the season.
Yeah. Great. Well, Chris, could we get your prediction, please, for the AFC North? How would you play out? Is he here? Is Chris here?
Chris McNeil.
You off road again?
All right.
We are hoping and praying you're okay, Chris McNeil.
Okay, let's go to Bridget.
Oh, can you hear me?
Oh, Chris, we can hear you, sir. Yeah, we can hear you.
We need your prediction for the AFC North. What's going to happen?
I just went to a dead spot there.
That's okay. We hope it is not a sign of things to come for the Browns.
Is it a permanent dead spot?
Okay. Back. Okay. I think I've only got like a minute. So can I give you my rundown right now, the AFC North, real quick?
Go, start.
We're ready. We're ready. Go.
Okay. I'll give you number one, the Ravens. See the ascension once again of the Ravens to number one, unfortunately, as much as it hurts me. I agree with the Cleveland Browns at number two. I like Deshaun Watson to play all season long this year. If for some reason it's not Deshaun Watson, I reserve the right to change that pick. I'd like at number three, I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals. I think the Bengals are going to take a step back. I think that they're pretty juiced after last year. You see what happens to Super Bowl losers the year afterwards. They always take a step back, and I think the Bengals are going to be in that boat. And I've been predicting the demise of the Pittsburgh Steelers for, what, about 20, 30 years? I think we're finally going to see it this year. They're going to be in the basement of the AFC North with their small-handed quarterback. So that's the way I look at the AFC North. You've got the Ravens one, the Browns two, the Bengals three, and then the Steelers in the basement.
The hate. I feel like the hate for the Bengals is hurting my heart.
Yeah. Well, I think I can speak for Bridget and John and Hoji without mansplaining, as they say, with their predictions. I don't know. Or do you want to go ahead and share those?
I can share mine. I won't justify them. Got Bengals number one, Ravens number two, and I think that's what we'll see. My prediction is that's maybe for the next 2 or 3 years, they'll trade spots at the top of the AFC, but Bengals one, Ravens two, Browns number three, Steelers number four.
And I'm gonna double down and agree with Bridget, and I want to just give a quick explanation as to why, and it's a response to Jack. Because Jack, you are right. This was not the team last year that won a bunch of games, that was tuned to perfection and made it to the Super Bowl in that way. And that is why when a team is tuned to perfection and then loses the Super Bowl, they regress. But this team kind of got lucky.
Just hitting right? its stride, yeah.
They were a clutch team. They're hitting its stride. It's a team that was in the clutch every game that mattered and lost a lot of games that didn't matter. And I think that's a sign that what you were seeing was a team on the ascent, and this year is going to be an explosion of victory. And it's going to be all over our faces. It's going to be all over our shirts. It's going to be an explosion all over the place. And it's going to be all over Cleveland. It's going to be all over the Steelers and the Browns. And everybody's going to see the explosion.
Right. Okay. And John?
I think the one thing I'm confident in this prediction is that somehow, some way, the Steelers will not be last, just because that team just doesn't die. And a lot of things can happen from now until January. Injuries will happen, random regression will happen, but somehow the Steelers will still carve out 8 or 9 wins somehow, some way. Honestly, they kind of upgraded a quarterback this year, so I mean, it's all relative. I think the Ravens probably have the best chance of being one, but I don't foresee the Bengals falling like below 8 wins necessarily, because I do agree that when you talk about regression for a team that just went to the Super Bowl, I think you have a point there. Like, the Bengals, while they were good enough to get to the Super Bowl, I don't think they've necessarily gotten worse, and I don't think there's a lot to say that what they did last year isn't going to translate, because the things that they did well are typically very stable. So it's going to be really close in this division. I think the Ravens probably have the best team, so I'm going to say that they finish one for now, and it'll be Cleveland and Cincinnati battling for 2 and 3, with probably a good chance of 3 teams making the playoffs. Or I'm sorry, the Steelers battle between 2 and 3, because it's just kind of what they do.
Yeah. Well, if you're asking me, it really bothers me to say this. It pains me to say this.
Yeah.
But I do think the Bengals, yes, they are going to have a letdown season. I do see that happening, unfortunately. Meanwhile, the Steelers are going to be a step ahead, as John said. They're going to be a step ahead. The Ravens are going to have a bounce back season. And the Browns, like I said, are going to send shockwaves through the league. Let me explain. The Bengals, first in the division, Super Bowl victory. The other 3 teams out of the playoffs. That's my prediction.
Wait, what's the letdown? I don't understand. You got to explain every single...
Okay. So I forgot. Yes. They're going to let down their hair, and it's going to be an offensive explosion. Last year, if you look, especially in the playoffs, they never got going offensively. No. And that was the offensive line. And we have these incredible receivers for now, until we have to pay them like $80 million each. But we have them for now. And we have Joe Burrow, who's, I mean, he's like a combination of Peyton Manning and Tom Brady or something. I mean, he can pick apart the defense with his brain, but he also has the leadership and toughness and charisma. And so I think offensively, they're going to take off. They're going to score maybe 3, 4, 5 more points a game. And in the playoffs, we're going to see them also.
So let down fireworks. The hair.
Yeah.
When you say let down the hair. Okay, why?
I thought that was obvious.
No, it wasn't. Now, Steelers, you said they're a step ahead. I'm guessing there is some.
Because they're going to be a step ahead in the draft process, because they're going to be out of the contention about halfway through the season, and they can focus on the draft. That's what, yeah. Yeah. And the Ravens are going to bounce back and out of the playoffs.
It's like when you bounce off the trampoline into the garbage.
And yes. And the Browns are going to send shockwaves with their stink. Stink waves with the loud sounds that they're emitting from, I don't know where, but they're the Browns, so you figure it out.
A shark, so to speak.
Look, enough with the predictions. I know Jack has to go. I mean, really, a third of the world's population is waiting for their next instructions on what to do.
Start a cult, we are in.
Right.
We
have a final segment, Dadio Cares, which is Bridget's segment, which actually counts as my community service, which is why we have this segment. Go ahead, Bridget.
All right. So we're going to keep this short. I know this has been a longer show, but it's been a tremendous show. So, you know, these are our PSAs. We try to do good for all of our listeners. So May is Healthy Vision Month. And I want to share some data with all of you. So only 1 out of every 7 preschoolers receive an eye exam. We all know how important vision care is. Not a lot of people get vision screenings or eye health exams. I haven't gotten one in a long time. But also an estimated 11 million Americans, 11 million could see better with corrective lenses if they had a vision screening. And we actually have a clip about how serious this is. So could you roll that clip?
There.
All right, you
tell me.
So here.
That's what they called.
Yes, it is.
Wow, in a game where there have not been that.
This is what happens when you do not have a vision screening. You make BS holding calls on Logan Wilson in the Super Bowl. And so we at the number one Bad and Goals podcast on Believe are promoting Healthy Vision Month. I hope that ref was able to get a vision screening after the Super Bowl and get those corrective lenses. If you are able, get your vision screening, and to promote good eyesight, eat healthy leafy greens like kale, carrots. I'll promote good eyesight. Get regular eye exams. Wear sunglasses or safety goggles when you're doing anything that might impact your eyes. And most importantly, the number one thing you can do if you want to get a vision screening, promote good eye health, is don't work here because you won't get vision insurance.
Okay, we get the point. Yeah, so. I mean, here's the thing. I appreciate that, and I'm going to look into it because honestly, when I went to get glasses, I told them, you know, whatever prices they threw at me, I said, that's too much. And they finally gave me these. But the thing is, I don't think they helped me at all. Like, I can't see any better now than I did before I got my glasses. So I know how important it is.
On your face, no. Quite,
and
right?
In fact, there is no glass in them. I think that was the problem. They sold you frames, Dadio. See, what happens is you paid for the frames, and then you have to pay more money, which you would probably refuse to pay. I'm guessing this is what happened, to put glass in the glasses.
Yeah, I don't understand why I need the extra glass layer if I have right? I mean, they call these the glasses. I don't know. I thought it was a ripoff, but I will,
No.
All right, look, here's the thing. Jack, as you can send this out to your followers, that they can go to patreon.com/dhsports and support the show, or to vino.app/dhsports and get a direct line to us. Thank you, Herbert. And also, look, we just had a gentleman named P. Crawley 513 drop $5 in the super chats. I love the super chats because really a lot of people think talk is cheap, that a speech is free, but it's not. You have to, if you want your message out there, Jack knows better than anybody, you have to put in the time, you have to put in the money. And so the people who do the super chats, they're my best friends. And so you can do that. You can become a member here or on the other places we said. Any final words before we let Jack go? And Chris had to step out. Yeah.
Well, I would just ask for our fans to put their predictions in the YouTube comment section, because I want to know what you think. And don't just put who you think, but to put why you think.
Right. Yes. Thank you. And look, make sure you check out Jack everywhere on Twitter, on Snapchat.
Well,
on
they already have. Sports. Everybody's following Jack.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Anybody who's seen that, his
isn't his at just Jack on Twitter, at Jack?
Yeah, yeah. I've seen a lot of people tag him, and they just want his help on Twitter.
Just
policies,
at Jack. Yep.
So there you go, and make sure you read John's articles, and also remember to feel guilty about things for Bridget.
For Bridget, yes.
And that is
say your prayers at night so you get forgiveness for all the things you did wrong that Bridget is going to blame you for, because that's what HR does.
Exactly. All right. So I'm Daddy McDuke, and that is John Oatshiren and Hoji the Electric Esmoji. We will see you next time. Don't forget to subscribe, like, comment, turn on notifications, and check out the number one Bengals podcast on iPhones, or whatever it's called, the podcast place. So long, Isfiti Pais.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Save big money at Menards. Keep your lawn looking its best with Menards' premium four-part fertilizer program. Each step is tailor-made for the health of your lawn. Get started this spring with a bag of crabgrass preventer with lawn food. Apply just once early in the spring to feed your lawn for over 2 months. Pick it up in our garden center today and check out Menards.com for more hot deals happening now. Save big money.